Blog Talk Radio.
Roland, I know you got soul.
Cut in 60 minutes radio show. I want to thank everybody listening, thank everybody that's going to listen, and thanking everybody, come on down, come on and listen to tonight's broadcast with myself and the lovely, talented, beautiful Doc Honeycutt.
Aww.
What's going on, Doc? How are you, baby?
How are you doing?
Doing. It's going. It's moving. It's grooving. It is Thursday.
Yes. It's going to be an amazing day. Like, the full Hilltop Radio is full. Thursday, today is going to be, like, crazy. Good crazy.
Yeah, you guys, make sure you check back again tonight at 9 p.m. We got the groups. The sequence, boy, it is heated.
Yes.
Thursday night at 9 p.m. here on the Hilltop Radio Show. Angie B, you guys already know her as Angie Stone. Cheryl the Pearl, we call her Auntie Cheryl. And Miss Blondie will be in the house talking about, they slapping back tonight, Doc. It is going to be
one
of those shows that you're going to be like, bump that, I'm moving them to the top of the list for Sunday.
I know. Look, just sisterhood alone is just, you know, the power of sisterhood is amazing. And I always say, we women, I don't care. Women running the game right now, DJ Sean.
Y'all doing a damn thing. James
I'm
Brown's
so
going to come.
I'm so proud to be a woman. Yes, we doing
James Brown's going to come back and say, it's a woman's world.
Hey, and I'm going to say, you know what? You're right. I ain't going to argue with her.
That's right. Question that came up today in the news with the, you know, George Floyd's death, Doc. So does this mean it's the end of the police in schools? Or the police coming out of the schools, the middle schools, you know, the elementary schools, the high schools? What does that do to, you know, the schooling now?
Okay,
because,
so
you know,
bring me up to par, because, you know, I've been frontlining all day today. So,
well, you know that we've had some officers around the United States that have been found guilty of police brutality on young men and young women in high schools.
Mm-hmm.
Where we've actually seen the videos of these officers accused of mistreating, bullying, and abusive behavior toward teens, you know, in classrooms. So with this new police policing, where do the schools and the, you know, middle schools and stuff over, you know, over, we've also had shootings in high schools and stuff now. Does this open up the door for more shootings in high schools, or
right?
Know, what, do you, what, what do you What is your opinion? Oh, you, before we get into anything, everybody, can you go ahead and do your disclaimer? Thank you.
So, yes, these are DeDeshawn and myself, Hilltop Radio's opinions. We're only stating our opinions, which we have a right to. We're not telling you that this is your opinion, or we're not diagnosing. This is for entertainment purposes only.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. And let me do this real quick. Anybody out there that's listening to the show and you want to put your opinion in on what we talk about, feel free. This number is 516-595-8110. And if you're already online and already on the phone line and you want to give your opinion on anything that we talk about today, just hit 1 on your keypad and that'll get you over in the queue. And then I can get you right on into the show, and you can be heard. You can say it with your chest.
Right.
You can say how you
come
feel.
On in the room.
Yeah.
Come on in the room.
Come on.
Yes.
Don't sing
come
it, bring
on
it.
In the room. Yeah. We want to hear from
all
some
right
people.
That's right. Come on. Come on down. Come on down.
Yes,
so, Doc, what
yes,
do you think?
Yes.
What is your opinion?
So, I think that if it's going to be like that, they're going to have to come up with something else. They need some kind of somebody, some kind of security at these schools. Because to me, you just never know, you know, when things are going to go south. And like you said, there have been shootings. And teachers are not trained. They're not professionally trained, you know, to do things that law enforcement do.
That's true.
So, yes, definitely. I think that they're going to have to do something if they don't have the police there. Or retrain. I think it's time for some retraining, too, on all levels. Law enforcement,
yeah.
I think they need to start that some of that money that they're spending, they need to start retraining some people.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big believer of every police officer in the United States. I don't give a damn if you have a Mayberry type town, Dukes of Hazzard County type, just two police officers. I think everybody needs to wear a camera on their person. And I think
mm-hmm.
that if they turn their cameras off in a commission of a crime or investigating a crime, I think each police officer should be charged with tampering
that
with evidence.
That should be a crime. You're absolutely right.
And that's a felony. Tampering with evidence is a felony. And if I'm doing something dirty, if you're doing something dirty, it needs to be shown. It needs to be seen. Oh, this cop was crooked in the beginning. This crop
mm-hmm.
doesn't need to be on. And I think, like the state police does, I think
right.
the county, the city, should now do a background check on the parents. If his father, you know, did wrong. Because if you're a state trooper, that's how extensive they do the background checks to becoming a state trooper. They do they background check your parents.
And that lets you know that tells a lot about the child's character too, and what kind of you know, just a lot of things about about the child,
yeah.
knowing who their parents are. Yes,
exactly. And that gives you an idea of who's who when they come to these academies and stuff. They need to do an extensive. If they're gonna do an extensive background on you to carry a gun, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They should be. They should do an extensive background on you becoming a police officer. Period.
Absolutely right.
And they
absolutely
should do
right.
this before you go through the academy and wasting taxpayers' damn money to become a police officer. Real talk. You're not
mm-hmm.
qualified. I don't care. And then they'll come up and say, well, that's not fair. Yeah, it is fair if your father is a Ku Klux Klan member. You're going to do as you're told.
Right.
You could tell by the haircuts, the way they look, the way they talk, the way they act. That's just my opinion.
Oh yeah, I mean you can see hatred in a person's eyes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. So I think they should do background checks on the mother and the father, and then you can really see who's who.
Well,
if they do
if they do it
at the state police level, if they do it at the state level, why not do it at the county level?
Just go ahead and make it. I know they're going to have to change a lot. They're going to have to change a lot of guidelines. They're going to have to change a lot of everything. And they know that too.
And these towns where the mayor runs the show, these mayors need to stop playing around with these police chiefs and do as you're told. If you're not doing as I'm the man that's running the show, or I'm the woman that's running the show, this is how your police department's going to be. If you don't run it the right way, your ass is gone, and as well as your police officer's ass are gone. Plain and simple. Yep. They need to stop playing around.
That's right.
Stop playing around. That's how I feel about it.
And also, you know, now, and thinking back, you know, with, like, before the body cams and all that stuff, I'm like, how much stuff was actually swept up under the rug? I'm not even talking about the police killing the black men, or, you know, police getting away with killings, but I'm talking about just everything else. Like, how much crime has police done, period?
Well, how far you want to go back?
I mean, the thought of
to the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s.
I mean,
you got to remember.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was saying they can only be, you know, we can only go from where the body cams are. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can kind of at least monitor from when they had to start wearing body cams. But prior to that, man, that whole thing is just totally scary.
You got an attorney general that's scared to do what's supposed to be done because he's scared of losing his job behind a racist president that doesn't really care about nobody but himself, who he can tweet about, and tantrums that he has when things don't go his way. It's always, oh, I blame this person for it. I blame that person for it. In 3 years, he's never taken blame for nothing wrong that he said or done. And that BS thing he had today on Fox News was just a bunch of garbage. And you had our brothers up there like, this man is the next Messiah. It was so disgusting and disrespectful. I shook my head through the whole thing because...
Yeah, I can't even hardly watch that kind of stuff now from him, period.
Yeah. Our people are living a lie that they really think that this man's going to give you, what is it, 40 acres and a mule? Shit. Okay.
Mm.
Y'all keep on relaxing and waiting for a miracle.
And we were talking about, so 1B is, I guess, on the line. He should say this himself, but he said lie detector tests should be mandatory before hire and investigation.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's fine. Chime in, 1B, if you're on the line. But, yeah. That'll tell a lot of stories, won't it?
Oh yeah. You don't know who, you know who's who. I mean, if someone took the New York City Police Department's badge, and if you look at the badge, It actually has a slave owner with a whip on that badge. Then it has the eagle, and then it has an Indian on that badge. Check it out. Check
Which
it out.
One is this?
New York City Police Department badge.
New York City. I sure will. Because I've never even noticed that. Never seen one.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, again, we want to thank everybody for being a part of the show. And and anybody that wants to be heard, just hit one on your keypad, and that'll get you over in the queue. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pulling it up again. You have an Indian. You have an eagle. And it looks like what is a slave owner with a whip in his hand. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And I'm looking at different styles. Even the old PD, NYPD.
Oh, I see it.
Badge.
See it.
Yeah, you see it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a controversy right now. That a lot of people, that they're keeping hush, but they are talking about changing that badge. They then took every rebel flag there was out of the military now. It shouldn't even had it in the military, but it's been in the military. Christopher Columbus's head is missing off a statue right now. There are a reward for Christopher Columbus's head. So if anybody finds his head... Nah, I'm just joking. But they did rip his head off his shoulders, the statue, and dumped his body in a river.
I was going to say, it's no telling where that head is.
It's a shame that we grew up in a country where they taught us that a man can come down the chimney and bring you Christmas presents. And our mothers and fathers and grandparents actually believe the shit too. They also said that, you know, Christopher Columbus was the first to find America. That was a lie. Thanksgiving was created because the Indians ate with the Pilgrims. No, the Indians was fucking up the Pilgrims because the Pilgrims didn't have no business where they were at. So, you know. And then what was another one? Frosty the Snowman was a snow person. And he had a magic hat and he came to life and shit like that. And then you had a damn... Yeah, then you had a damn reindeer with a damn red nose that flew in the sky with his legs. This is the stuff that they taught us, you know, as far as the elementary school. And then when you got to the middle school, if you can remember, when Black History came around, it wasn't even very, what, a page and a half of... Who was Martin Luther the King and who else? Rosa Parks and what's his name? Frederick Douglass, and that was it. That was your history.
And it is so many more. Like, it's so many more that did so many other things, you know, that we didn't even hear about. Like, making things that we need on a daily basis. Black people, we created some important things in our lifetime.
Peanut butter.
We invented some. Yeah.
Instruments.
Right.
Even Jack Daniels was created. Jack Daniels was created by a black man, and was stolen. His recipe was stolen by Jack Daniels, the white man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Fried chicken. It wasn't no pilgrims. Yep. You know?
Nope.
And then you stole land. The biggest massacre was killing Indians, women and children. And the reason why that was so the children couldn't have kids to have kids to have kids. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So let me talk about my current event for today.
Okay.
So when I got home today, I was looking at the news, and they were talking about taking all the rebel flags out of, like, the NASCAR environment.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much, like, everywhere, everybody is taking their rebel flags down now. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking we're starting to make some noise. Because I didn't even know that the rebel flag was in NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to remember, NASCAR was created a long, long time ago. And when black people weren't allowed to race in NASCAR for a long time.
And it's the black driver that's actually making the movement. What's his name? What is his name? Bump? No, I'm probably not. Bubba. I think it's Bubba. But he's actually one that's making the movement happen.
Well, you had one NASCAR driver, since you brought it up.
Bubba Wallace.
Who quit. No, Ray Cesaria. Cesaria.
Uh-huh.
NASCAR driver from Ellicott City. That's Maryland. He quit.
Oh, wow.
Who quit in the wake of the Confederate flag band. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He got pissed off because he said it insists that it was never about the flag. So that goes to show you. That goes to show you what type of person he is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, regardless of your belief and you quit because of, and he says, for the record, nah, you quitting because you suck. As somebody said, he's quitting because he suck at racing. That's probably too. He probably does suck at racing. He's probably never won Bubba Wallace is the lone African American full-time driver,
right,
called NASCAR's move on Wednesday night. So I applaud him. And Richard Petty was
mm-hmm.
for it as well too. So they're going to be doing a special on that. So that's good. And when you have to come back to what you were saying, Doc, when you have these drivers you gotta understand that slavery was built on that rebel flag.
Yes,
you know, when you were doing the Civil War time, the South, the North was the United States flag, and the South created that rebel flag because they didn't want slavery. You know, they didn't want to abolish slavery. They still wanted to, have slavery, and whatnot. And then even when the North won, you still had Southern countries that still didn't allow their slaves to leave. We're free. Yeah.
And every time I see that flag hanging anywhere, to me, that's a caution of this is not where you need to be. This is not
where you need to be.
Right.
Oh, yeah. To move on to other news in Ocean City, Maryland, over the weekend, and DJ Wiz called me and told me this today. It was the Boardwalk. It was a resort city they had a race war. They had a race riot, actually, whites against the blacks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It ended up where someone got stabbed. Someone got stabbed pretty bad. It is Juneteenth weekend, June bug weekend, you know, and some of these dominantly, you know, beaches and stuff like that. And I blame Ocean City officials for opening up and knowing that this was coming, knowing that you got the young man that got killed and things like that. You know, some people, some organizations and some of these townships bring matters into their own hand because of the stupidity of, you know, your mayors and your town leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow, we need to get our town open so we can start making money. Well, no, you open your town and now you look stupid.
Right.
Because you allow this to happen, and now you're talking about, oh, we're gonna call in the National Guards. For what?
That's right.
They hire Ocean City, Maryland hires young adults that haven't even gone through the academy. Hire them as police officers. This is a known fact. Why? Because my uncle was one.
Mm-hmm.
Give them badge, a gun, and okay, here's what you need to do. And they've been doing that for years. And that's it.
Wow.
And they've been doing that for years.
Well, then they don't have the proper training. They don't actually know how to do what they're supposed to do. They probably don't even know the protocols of doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Exactly. Yep.
So that's why I said, like, a lot of things have to change.
Yep, it says two suspects are wanted for stabbing on Ocean City Boardwalk. See, it got to that bad, that bad, where you're looking for people that's not even they're not even from Maryland or the Eastern Shore. They're from other cities and other towns, and you bring that. Where's the key? Here's my thing. The parents, where's the coronavirus at? You know, why? Where's this pandemic thing, the social distancing at, you know, in these resort towns? Why would the parents let their 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds leave for the weekend to go to a resort town, knowing what you just went through weeks and weeks ago over protesting? Doesn't make any sense. I'd be stupid for my daughter to say, "Dad, I'm going to the resort with some girlfriends of mine." No, the hell you not.
I know, that's right.
No, the hell you not. No. You're going to have to, you know, video chat with them and this and that, because you're not going nowhere. Especially especially a resort town like that? No. Oh, no.
Right. And I was going to say, right now, it's really not a great time to be going anywhere far, because you don't know. And a lot of people got a lot of emotion and a lot of things build up. So, especially to send out your young children, vulnerable, that's not good.
Mm-mm. So now you're looking for, for two suspects, you know, that stabbed someone. And it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. That's all I got to say.
It is.
Yeah. Well, let's go to a quick song, Doc, and we'll be right back here on DJ Sean and Doc Honeycutt in 60 minutes.
60 minutes.
Let's see. Let's find something. Let's see here. I should already have this ready to go, but sometimes you gotta find the music for the right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is where I want to be at. Shoot, this dude jamming, funking for Jamaica. Up in here, you know what I'm saying? Some funk,
yes.
Make a funk. We got some incredible shows coming up as well. I did contact retired Lieutenant Colonel Ray Dickerson. He's going to be coming on with us, Doc, in 2 weeks to talk about the PTSD. If I'm saying that right, PTSD.
Yeah,
he's going to be coming on talking about that. Not only in the, the military world, but also out, in the world of, beyond that as well. Police officers are going through, and family members are going through with, with the family members being killed and things like that, and people witnessing. Death, and it's just he'll be with us, and we got a football player that's going to join us as well.
Well,
on the Panthers.
He said he was coming on. I haven't got a confirmation, so
okay.
I have to run him down. You have to run him down.
Okay.
Yeah, he did.
Well, we do have retired NFL player. I'd like for him to come on when. Cato Hitson, retired NFL player from the Los Angeles Rams at the time in Winnipeg, Canada. He's going to be coming on. We're going to be talking about a little bit about the NFL. Colin Kaepernick, NFL needs to, they owe this man a job. If you can admit to that, they understand now why the players were taking a knee. I think the next step for the commissioner to do is be a real man and apologize to this young man. And the 49er organization needs to apologize to this young man. And the owners, the 32 owners, need to apologize to this man as well, too. I think they owe this man one of the biggest apologies that's due. And I think they need to get this man signed. And I think the team that should be signing him as a backup should be the Minnesota Vikings.
So, you know, DJ, so I was thinking, you know, I can't say how he feels, but I would just love for him just to express, like, you know, looking back mm-hmm. at what he did, because he stepped out and he stayed true to who he was. He did what a lot of people wanted to do, but was afraid to do it because they were afraid of what they were going to lose, or, you know, or what it was going to cost them. So I want to know, I would love to know, like, his feelings and his emotions of how he actually feels, you know, from something that pretty much he's been trying to, you know, get out the whole entire time.
Right. Well, yeah, I would love to know that as well, too, honestly.
Come on. If you're listening, come to the Hip Hop Radio Show. We want to talk to you. Come on.
Hell yeah. Come on down, brother. Come on down. Down again, if anybody want to be a part of the show or even just want to add something or say something, 516-595-8110 or if the phone line is, those people are listening on their phone. If you want to talk, just hit 1 on your keypad, and that'll get you over into the queue, and you can ask away here on the show. I know Dr. Ted had a previous engagement with another radio station in Baltimore, so he apologizes, and we'll bring him and Pastor Pinckney back on part two here on the show soon down the road. We got so much to cover, so much to talk about. So, Doc, let me ask you this. How you feel about, you know, what is your opinion on people that do support Trump of color?
I mean, they have their own opinion to be able to do that. You know, it just says a lot about who they are to me.
Yeah.
And when people show you who they are, you have to believe them.
Do you, I was reading, and this is my opinion, I was reading a article, and it was saying that, honestly, black people, we're really not a part of any type of a political party, because, honestly, our vote doesn't really count anyway, because it's electoral, hires these presidents. I know when Obama ran, you know, of course his electoral votes were a landslide. But you have Joe Biden. Are we going to have these landslide numbers again with Joe Biden running in 2020? You know, for 2020, or are we going to go back into this? You know, Georgia didn't had issues, and Nevada didn't had issues with their voting machines, and people were out to 12:30 in the morning voting. Are we going to have these bullshit issues, you know, when it comes to voting in November, which is right around the corner?
Right around the corner. And I was going to say, at some point, I would love for us, you know, on either the Monday night show or, you know, our Thursday at 7, if we could actually have somebody to come on and talk about the, you know, why it is so important to place your vote, and what does, you know, your vote mean? Because a lot of people don't understand it. That's why they don't do it, because they don't know. You know, you can just say, go vote, go vote, go vote. You need to go vote. But if they don't know why they should actually go vote, oh, I'm just going to go vote so I can go put a man in the, you know, in the chair to run the country. They still don't know why, you know. So I wish, you know, if we can get some people that can actually break it down to help people that don't really, really understand. Because like I said, I didn't understand either. I thought my voice did not matter. I thought that I didn't have a voice, that, you know, it just was not, they wasn't going to miss my vote. But now that I understand how important it is, I'm running to every poll there is.
Oh, yeah, to remember, at one point in time, you know, women couldn't vote. At one point in time, black people couldn't vote. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It was just all white people were allowed to vote. Now,
right.
You know, now women can vote now, and black people can vote now. it's funny how, you know, when you look back and, you know, me is 50 years old, and I look back at my childhood and I go back to, you know, my elementary school days, and I came up in a system where they started segregating schools. I was
mm-hmm.
part of that. You know, I was
mm-hmm.
part of that transition in the 70s. And I go look at that, and you had some black teachers that were hired, and they, you could tell, now looking back, my opinion, that you could tell that they were for the system. They wasn't for us. They were for the system. Either do what the system tells you to do, or you get fired. So
mm-hmm.
it wasn't. I can remember many times where I got in fights with white kids, and I was sent to the office, you know, not them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't remember how many times I used to get my ass tore up in school for fighting. But my grandparents raised us as, you get picked on, you pick back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Someone hits you,
right.
You hit them back, but harder, and things like that. So, I look back.
Oh,
on,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Doc.
No, I was gonna say, do you think it was because of, you know, you being biracial, that?
Biracial. Yeah, I mean,
uh-huh.
I wasn't picked. I was picked on both sides, the blacks and the whites. You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
I was fighting. I probably fought every day, and not only that, I was fighting being a biracial child in a classroom, actually where the teachers were biased. The teachers were prejudiced as well, too. Because you got to remember, again, that's the 70s. You know, you didn't have no, you know, black men, you know, messing with white women. And the white men, yeah, they were messing with the black women, but it was secretive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them was rape. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in the town that I was born in and raised in, you pretty much had it, but it was secretive. It was very
right.
secretive on what was going on, you know? What, natural curly hair, you know what I mean? And,
right.
you know, skin color different from a white kid's color, even a light skin. Child, you know, even if you're black and you're light skinned, different skin color, tone, and how you talk and things like that. Yeah, I remember all that, going through all that. And then it's like, the system wasn't really for biracial kids and black kids at that time. We were picked on, not only by other kids, but we were picked on by the teachers and even the principals that I went through. Didn't really, when I got to high school, it was a whole different setting, because the principal wasn't the type, Mr. Shoemate wasn't the type of man that favored one race or the other. You know what I'm saying? If you did something wrong, you either got, you know, suspended or you got kicked out of school. He didn't care what color you were. He didn't see that. Mm. He seen you as a person to get an education.
Right.
I mean, I remember, getting in my first fight in high school. And he sat me down. He was like, "You are a very talented football player. Why allow these people to bother you? You're good in the classroom. The teachers love you. You know what I mean? You know, you're a very, very talented young man. I hear and I see everything that you do in this school. You know, stop fighting. Walk away." He said it's better for you to walk away instead of getting suspended than having to come back and repeat the school year and repeat the school year. You know, he talked to us like if he was our father. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And everything that he said made sense to us. You know, because when I went back and became a referee, and I did my first high school game at the school that I graduated from, he was like, "Wow, you're a referee." He said, "I would never believed it." You know what I mean? And
you gave him,
you know, I gave him a fit. Man, I gave that my 4 years in that school. I gave him a fit every damn year. I was in every other week. I was in that principal's office. But me being a type of student and an athlete that I was, he did suspend me one time for a couple of days, which was, you know, I kind of like pushed one of the teachers out the way to get back at the boy. So, you know, I had to do my 3 days home. But I'd go to the office of the vice principal. The vice principal would always get mad because Mr. Shoemate would scold the football players. And he's like, "Okay, I got you going back to class." So when we would get done football practice, and okay, Mr. Shoemaker ain't coming, he'd come across the field in his Corvette, and he'd be like, "Fisher and Stevenson, and I ain't forgot about y'all. We're going to go on some more." And he would make us do more exercising and running the football field and stuff, and then take us home. Yeah.
Wow.
And these are the type of I think that's missed in schools now. These are the type of father figures and role models that schools are missing now. These type of teachers and administrators that's missed in these schools. You know what I'm saying?
That's a whole show right there. Because like we're not even allowed, like they're not even allowed to discipline the way, you know, we were disciplined when we were in school.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing.
I remember
it needs to come back. It needs to come back.
It does. Because people like the kids now, they just, you know, they feel like they can do whatever they want to do. And we didn't feel like that when we were coming up. You know, we had fear that we were going to get in trouble and we were going to get talent.
Get your ass tore up when you got home.
We were going to get in trouble at home.
Yep.
We're going to get it. Or at the school because mama coming. Because we're still showing up behind. Not me. I didn't get in trouble. I was good. But my sister used to get in trouble. I was something bad.
And the thing about it is as well too, when I started officiating, I started taking control of officiating. I didn't allow parents to dictate, coaches to dictate how the game was going to be ran, and them bullying the officials and talking back to the officials and getting in the officials' faces and stuff. I was one of those ones where I would stop the game and make you leave the gym or make you leave the sideline or make you leave the football field and go sit in your damn car until your son or your daughter got finished the game. Because they were distractions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because some of them get so mad, they be ready to fight.
Yeah, they can fight. I tell them straight up, you suit yourself. I said, because when I get done with you, you're still going to jail for putting your hands on an official. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And that's a part of when people hated me because I was zero tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell the coaches straight up, we're here for the kids. I'm not here to referee you. You're going to coach your game, and I'm going to referee my game. If you have any issues, you're not going to be yelling at me or my officials, and you're not going to be being disrespectful toward me and my officials. You have a thing which is called a timeout. You ask for your timeout. Oh. I'll grant you your timeout. Then you can talk about your issue. But if it's something that happened, we're in the third quarter, something that happened in the first quarter, guess what? You didn't waste the timeout because I didn't already told you I don't want to hear nothing that happened, you know, in the first half. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Delaware, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Connecticut, Ohio. There's my territories.
Wow. So you
DC and Maryland. Uh-huh.
Now, did you have a preference of like what did you like to do high school, college ball, you know, children? What was your preference if you had to choose?
It would be the kids, the middle school, the middle mm-hmm. schoolers, high schoolers. I gave time back. What I mean by that is I would just go and do games because of the love and teaching the kids. When they made a tackle the wrong way or they hit the person the wrong way, you know, I would penalize them, but then I would explain to them what they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And tell them, you know, you can't do that. This is the way you got to do it. That's the respect I started getting from leagues. That's the respect I started getting from some coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ran over 500 different officials in five different states.
Right.
And it's like when you're out in the public and you're doing something, kids run up to you. Mr. Referee, are you going to do my game on Saturday? I'm like, well, what school? You know, where are you from? You did our game a while back, man. We like you and this and that. That goes to show you that you've made an impact in kids' lives where they trust you on the field with them. And the parents trust you on the field working with the kids, things that some of the coaches should be doing. I was doing. Mm-hmm. Kids that would get hurt real bad, I would go to the parents. You need to take this child to the hospital now. Don't mm-hmm. wait around because of the coaches just have him. No, he needs to go now. I got in trouble a lot, but I could care less who got mad because I didn't have any boys, you know, my girls weren't in the sports. So I had to use my talent and train other officials the way that I taught, the way that I was taught, the way I was trained.
And, you know, and it's one of those situations where, like, you have to not be biased. So do you ever feel like you had, like, a biased moment, you know, like you had a favorite team and that you know that the team was going to lose? And you just still had to stay true to the game.
Yeah, I could. Let me say this, Doc. When teams came to the field or basketball or football, I could stand right there and watch them work out and know who's going to win. And I would tell the other officials, the team in the red is going to dominate the whole game. And they'd be like, oh, man, no, they're not. And then after the game, they'd be like, man, you was right. Got to watch how they practice. If they're messing around, lollygagging, and the coaches are walking around thinking that they cute on the field or on the basketball court, they're the team that's going to get their ass beat because the coaches think it's about them. It's about them. I went to – we had this game in Florida, and it was the Nationals, and this was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I think. They had this team from the Samoan Islands. Samoan Islands. Mm-hmm. All week, they were beating teams like by 4 or 5 touchdowns. And they came across this team from Texas. And I was telling the crew, I said, that Samoan team is going to crush this. I said, we're going to have a running clock in the second quarter. Watch what I tell you. They were like, oh, man, that team from Texas is pretty big in size and everything. I said, I'm telling you, man, watch what I tell you. That Samoan team had put up 49 points in the first half of football. And they destroyed. There was nothing we could do. They had their third string in, and they were still scoring.
Wow.
So I went to the coach. I said, Coach, you know, do you want to end this game? Because, you know what I mean? I understand everybody's here to watch football. I said, but my opinion, this is humiliating. Not only to you, but to the kids. And he looked at me and he's like, you know what? Let's go ahead and call the game. So I went over there to the team from Samoa. I said, this is how we're going to do this. I said, we're going to call the game. I said, we turned the score off. I said, your kids at one, I don't want any cheering or anything. Just shake hands with the other kids and go to the sidelines as if nothing, you know, nothing ever happened. And then you guys can celebrate and all that, you know, when you get your trophy. They did exactly what I asked them to do. And we didn't have any issues or anything.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. And that goes to show you how people believe in a system that you can also keeping kids happy without being upset and mad. But, you know, by just seeing things and just talking to people the correct way. And that's how I became one of the best officials at what I did over 25 years.
Wow.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Come in.
Yep. So, Doc, let everybody know where they can find you at on the social media, all your outlets, the TV, everything.
Oh, my God, y'all. When I say I'm popping right now, y'all, I'm in these streets working. So you can find me on IG, Doc Honeycutt Enterprises, and you can find me on Facebook, Doc Honeycutt. I got promos. We got shows going on. You can find me on 105.3 R&B on Sundays with DJ Wiz. You can also find me, my TV shows, Beauties and Bikers On Set and the Beauties and Bikers Reality TV Series. And we are on the On channel. We are on Roku, Fire Stick, Google Play, Chromecast, Apple TV, Android, Xbox, Indy Central TV. We're on the cable station, Spectrum 21, and Indy Central Network, TV Network. So, yeah, we out here, y'all. Check us out. Go follow me right now. Thank you. I appreciate it. How about you, DJ Sean? Let everybody know where they can find you.
You know, you can find me right here on the Hilltop Radio Show. Mondays through Fridays now, some Sundays if needed. And also you can find me with Doc Honeycutt in the streets.
That's right. In the streets. We're in the streets. As a matter of fact, right? We want to be in their streets. So
exactly.
We fly. I got my passport. I'm ready to go.
That's right. We can do it all. We can do it all right here. The total package. So on behalf of me, Doc Honeycutt, and 60 Seconds Radio Show, and the Hilltop Radio Show, we want to thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you tune back at 9 o'clock, man. It's going to be an epic show with the ladies of Sequence. That's Angie Stone, Angie B, Cheryl the Pearl, Auntie Cheryl, and Blondie. And ladies going to be in the house talking about disrespect that they still receiving after they did what they did for the industry. So make sure you guys tune in. And then tomorrow night on Black Friday, we got Val Young and the Mary Jane Girls in my house.
Yeah.
And my man Kenny Burke will be in the...
That's our dude right there, right?
The top. That's right. We'll be here on Friday night here on the Hilltop Radio Show. And then Sunday, we got Ozone, Mr. Charles Glenn will be in the house. And then Monday, we got Come On Ride and Ride On Our Fantastic Voyage.
Fantastic Voyage.
That's right. Lakeside will be in the house, y'all. And then Friday, the 19th of next week. I know I've skipped Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But we got Roll, Bounce, Pod, Skate, Mr. Butch Dale will be in the house with us as well. Right. You're on the Hilltop, y'all. We got full surprises here. Oh, yeah. And then we got a icon, a pioneer, and a legend. Sherry Sher of the girls, Mercedes ladies, will be with us the following week. So June is good to us. June is very good to us. June is very good to us. Here on the Hilltop. So, again, Doc, I will catch you in a hour here on the Hilltop, baby.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. See you guys soon. Let's see here. I didn't mean to do that.